Today on Real Radio.
For he who promised these things is faithful. I don't know about you, but that flipped me out. When God was giving that to me yesterday, I was so moved. That really touched me. You say, well, how come? Well, maybe it was just for me then. But I get to talk to Jesus anytime I want. I get to talk to the Father. I get to talk to the Holy Spirit anytime I want to. Anytime I need to.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues his series simply called, Why Should I? And of course, one question that often gets asked is, why should I pray? Sometimes we follow up with, isn't God sovereign, or why would he even listen to my prayers? Well, these are actually very good questions, and that's precisely why Pastor Jack addresses these issues as he continues this mini-series called, Why Should I Pray?
We have a desire. It may come in a moment of great peril, but for the Christian, we get to enjoy that connection all the time. We just get to live talking with God. Life is difficult, and we need help. And so God gave us prayer. And that's a fantastic thing. By the way, I got a message this month, and I thought I'd bring it up in regarding this very thing. Someone asked me here at the church if Albert Hibbs of JPL, Jet Propulsion Laboratory, he died last month, at the end of last month. Tremendous, famous engineer. You can go online and read about him. He's responsible, NASA will tell you, for introducing astronomy to young children. Back in the 60s, Albert Hibbs was a senior fellow at JPL and managed many space programs, the Voyager programs, and a very, very famous man. And you're going to ask, is he related to you? Yes, in the flesh, he's related to me. I hope things changed before Albert Hibbs died, but he would not receive the gospel. The last that I had heard, he didn't have anything to do with God. He was world famous for looking at the heavens and the stars and all that God had created, but he didn't know the Lord. He had a brain that was huge. I mean, he had an intellect that was extremely well noted in writings and all, and authored many books. But the truth of the matter is, if Albert Hibbs, that great astronomer, if he did not last month cry out to God, the Bible says that he's in hell. And that's a horrible thing to say. And a lot of my family get these tapes. But listen, Jesus says, unless you're born again, you'll not see the kingdom of heaven. And it all begins with crying out to him, oh, Lord, save me. The thief on the cross cried out to Jesus and said, Lord, remember me. And Jesus says, today you'll be with me in paradise. I hope that perhaps maybe I'll see Albert in heaven, because maybe in that last moment he cried out. I don't know. I wasn't there. But it doesn't matter how much intellect you have. It doesn't matter how much power you have. It doesn't matter how much money you have. There's no power. There's no connection. There's no influence greater in all the universe than our being introduced to God through this thing of prayer. And we have this desire to pray. And I believe that's the witness of the Holy Spirit in John chapter 16, verse 7. You can write that verse down. John 16, verse 7 through 11. Jesus says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. You would never think Jesus would ever say that, huh? It's better for you guys that I leave. For if I do not go away, the Holy Spirit will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world of sin. That means every person who sins or is sinning knows they're sinning. How do they know that? Hey, that's another argument for your philosophy class. Guilt, conscience. It's not something driven in socially or by a particular civilization's moral standard. It's in the heart of every human. They know when they're sinning. And of righteousness, they know right and wrong, that this is right and that's wrong. And of judgment. Jesus says the world is under this sway, knowing that somehow, possibly, judgment could come regarding their waywardness. By the way, that's the birthplace of guilt. You want to have your guilt taken away and have guilt no more? I got to tell you, God is my witness and my judge. When I was 19 years of age on June 20th, 1977, you can go on your Palm Pilot and check the date. I'll never forget it. It was a Monday night. Greg Laurie was preaching the gospel, and I walked into that building under guilt. I wasn't aware of my guilt, but if you would have said, walking in, hey, Jack, are you a sinner? I would have said, yeah, sure. In fact, I'm looking for places to sin. You got any tips? I walked in, heard the gospel. I was convicted of the righteousness of God and my sinfulness. And that night, I prayed my first real prayer. And that was, oh, God, save me. Whatever this hippie is talking about up there, that's what I want. That's what I need. And God saved my soul that night. And I thank God for that. And I'll forever thank God for that. Jesus went on to say that the Holy Spirit will come and he'll do these things because of sin, because they do not believe in me, because of righteousness, because I go to the Father. And they'll see me no more, and because of judgment, because the ruler, that is Satan, the ruler of this world, has been judged. The introduction to prayer. Prayer, really, in my opinion, is a reintroduction of what we lost back in the garden. It's God calling us back to that communion and that fellowship. Now, I want you to listen to this carefully. And the reason why I say that is because God gave this to me yesterday in putting this together. I got so excited about it. And then it's one of those moments. You ever have one of those moments? It's a personal thing. And so I asked God, God, this is so personal, but make it count. Because as I was thinking about what the Lord was saying to my heart, Jack, in the garden, they walked with me. Adam and Eve did. They talked with me. There was open dialogue and communication. It's the way God intended it to be. Then sin came and cut that communication line. That link was broken. And as I looked at that, and as I thought about the Old Testament scriptures, which when you read it, it's laborious. Some of you are going through your one-year Bible and you're reading about the blood and the sacrifices and this and that and the procedures and all of that. Why? Why? The repetition and the blood of the sacrifices and the laborious over and over again requirements of the Old Testament that man would then become prepared once a year to enter into the presence of God and have his sins forgiven. All of that stuff. Why? Why so difficult? And you have the Old Testament economy. And then you look at the New Testament answer. All of that blood and all of that protocol and all of that detail was to tell us that God is not easily approached because of our sinfulness and his righteousness. And there must be great detail given. And you say, well, that still doesn't help me much. It won't help you much until you see the New Testament economy. All of the details of the Old Testament, all of the laborious demands of the Old Testament sacrifices and the washing and the blood on the thumb and on the right ear and the right toe for the high priest and all the symbolism and all that stuff. And you go, what is that all about? It's all wrapped up and answered in Jesus Christ. He's the detail. He's the sacrifice. No wonder why John says, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. It's how we approach God today. When we pray, we are doing what the Old Testament believers never had a chance to do like we do. They had to go through procedure. They had to go through so much protocol. What do we do? Oh, God, forgive me. Isn't that amazing? They're, including myself, every one of us take that for granted. The Bible tells us in the Old Testament, if you sin, you got to go get a little sacrifice. You got to offer it up to the priest, they got to sacrifice it, and then your sin's forgiven. And then if you go down the street and you fall over a can and you curse or something, you got to go back, offer a sacrifice. Aren't you glad we just say, oh Lord, forgive me for that thought? Man. Well, listen to this. Hebrews chapter 9. I love Hebrews chapter 8, 9, and 10. Those chapters set me free. By the way, those of you who have a very legalistic background, maybe some of you come from a Lutheran background or maybe a Catholic background, you ought to read Hebrews chapters 8, 9, and 10. And in fact, I'd like to watch you read those chapters. because I'll see the weight lifted up off your shoulders. Listen to this, Hebrews chapter 9, verse 1. Indeed, even the first covenant, that's the Old Testament, of ordinances, of divine service, and the earthly sanctuary, that's the tabernacle, and then later the temple. For a tabernacle was prepared, the first part in which was the lampstand and the table and the showbread, which is called the sanctuary, and behind the second veil, the part of the tabernacle which is called the holiest of all, that's the Holy of Holies, which had the golden censer and the Ark of the Covenant overlaid on all sides with gold, in which were the golden pot and the manna and Aaron's rod that had budded, and the tablets of the covenant were the Ten Commandments. And above it were the cherubim of glory overshadowing the mercy seat. If you don't have a mental picture of that, just rent Raiders of the Lost Ark. Spielberg did a great job, by the way. I'm not joking. Beautiful job in the scale and everything. Of these things, we cannot now speak in detail. Now, when these things had thus been prepared, the priest always went into the first part of the tabernacle, performing the services. But in the second part, only the high priest went in alone once a year and not without blood, which he offered for himself. Why? Anybody know why? The high priest was a what?
Sinner.
Thank you. He was a sinner also. So he had to get blood for his own sin. He had to go get an innocent little lamb. And then he had to get the blood for the whole nation. You say, Jack, you're making me sick. Well, yeah, but hang on. It gets better. Try this on the first service and see how it goes. But into the second part, the high priest went in once a year and not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the people's sins committed in ignorance. The Holy Spirit was indicating this. Here's a little insight that the Bible gives on itself, that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest while the first tabernacle was still standing. That's why the temple and the tabernacles had to be destroyed. It was symbolic, Hebrews chapter 9, verse 9 says. What? Yeah, what Moses and the children of Israel carried across the desert, it's all symbolic. Yeah, what about though when Solomon built a temple and the Holy of Holies was there? Symbolic. Did you know that? Symbolic. Symbols. It's just symbols until the real thing comes. Symbols. It was symbolic for the present time in which both gifts and sacrifices are offered, which cannot make him who performs the service perfect regarding his conscience, concerned only with foods and drinks and various washings and fleshly ordinances imposed until the time of Reformation. But Christ came as the high priest of the good things to come, with the greater and more perfect tabernacle not made with human hands. That is, not of this creation, not of this world. Not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood, he, Jesus, entered the most holy place once for all. People, stop right there. Where and when did he ever do that on earth? It's silent in the sanctuary because he never did. Jesus never offered his own blood in any church, synagogue, temple, or tabernacle in the world. Why? Because those things pass away. Why? Because they're symbolic. Why? Because the greater had come. The real sacrifice. It's Christ. It's awesome. It's liberating. See, why are you telling us this regarding prayer? Oh, because we don't need icons. We don't need symbols. We talk to him. We talk to him all the time. Having obtained, it says, Jesus having obtained eternal redemption. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of the heifer sprinkled upon the unclean sanctified them and purified their flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse you from your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Man. Now I just get to pray. I get to talk to him because you know what? I don't need to call Pastor Jack on the phone. Will you talk to God? Please talk to God for me. I'm in trouble. You know what I'm going to tell you? I'm going to tell you, you read Hebrews 9 and start in verse 1. Let's read it right now. And we'll read it. And then I'm going to say, you talk to God. Go for it. You mean I can do that? Right now. Don't I have to go see my pastor or my evangelist or my priest or my cardinal or my... No! The Bible says that all men are sinners. We all need to go to Christ and in prayer. So the first place regarding our prayer life unto God is to come to Him and enjoy that introduction, Lord, forgive me and receive me as your child. Have you done that in your life? Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19. Therefore, brethren, having boldness now to enter the holiest by the blood of Christ, by a new and living way, which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us now draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with the pure water, that's a reference of the Word of God, the Bible, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. For he who promised these things is faithful. I don't know about you, but that flipped me out. When God was giving that to me yesterday, I was so moved. That really touched me. You say, well, how come? Well, maybe it was just for me then. But I get to talk to Jesus anytime I want. I get to talk to the Father. I get to talk to the Holy Spirit anytime I want to. Anytime I need to. My heart broke years ago when I went to Russia for the first time, and I was going to lead in personal evangelism. We're on the streets, and I was going to lead the first Russian that I'd encountered in sharing the gospel to Christ. And everything was going perfect until it came to, let's pray now that you might receive Christ. And they said, well, wait, we've got to go into the church. And I said, why? So God will hear our prayer. Yeah. And I said, where'd you hear that from? That's what we're taught in the Russian Orthodox Church here in Moscow, that God's not going to hear our prayer unless we go into the building. That's where he is. I said, he's right here right now. So how do you know that? I said, listen to the conversation we're having. This is of God. You were doing fine until you got into tradition. And that was a real sticking point with this man. How can I talk to God when I'm not at that temple or at that synagogue or at that church? That's religion. And it's not necessarily a relationship. So that's a very important thing. Listen, there's great hope. There's great excitement for us as believers. Why do we have this need to cry out unto God? God has placed it, I believe, in our hearts. And listen, because mankind is a fugitive from God, we know that he's a self-imposed runaway from God. And yet every person who's even hearing this right now, they know that there's times in life that can be so difficult that they find themselves even calling out to God. Even in their swank and arrogance, there can be a moment when they say, oh God, are you there? That's an awesome thing. There's hope. There's the gospel. Listen, Luke chapter 4, verse 16. Regarding the hope and this act of prayer, being introduced to it. Listen how much the Lord wants us to enjoy this. It says, so Jesus then came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as was his custom, he came into the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and he stood up to read. And he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened it, he found the place where it was written, so he read it. Isn't that interesting? He turned to a specific place in the book of Isaiah. He knew what he was going to do. And he said, Luke 4:18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and to the recovery of the sight of the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Then he closed the book and gave it back to the attendant, and he sat down. And the eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed upon him. And Jesus began to say to them, today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. So all the people who bore witness to him marveled at the gracious words that proceeded out of his mouth. The gospel. God wants us to pray. God wants us to be introduced or reintroduced back to fellowship with him. And Jesus' first sermon was out of the book of Isaiah chapter 61. And he says, the Lord has anointed and called me to preach, and here's the message. And let me ask you this. What's wrong with Jesus' message? I've come to open the eyes of the blind. Anything wrong with that, anybody? To set at liberty those who are captive. Any problem with that? Anybody have a problem with that? To encourage? You have a problem with that? No? Everything that Jesus said was the mission for his coming is good news. It's all good news. And the people, the eyewitnesses, listen, Mr. Skeptic, the eyewitnesses who were there, they marveled at his gracious words. What was he doing? He was inviting people to have an actual relationship with God in a personal way. And they were marveling at that. What's wrong with his message? Answer, nothing. That's what's wrong with it. Nothing's wrong with it. It's perfect. And that upsets people. It's too simple. It's too easy. Prayer's for little kids. The gospel is for weaklings. Not so. Interesting. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 5 and 6, the Bible says, for there is one God and one mediator. The word in Greek is go-between. You know that. The connection. There's one connection between God and mankind, and that is the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom. The word in Greek is a payment for debt. For all of us to be testified in due time. The word testified in due time means once Christ would be resurrected from the dead, every moment of every day from time and eternity would be the right moment to proclaim that Jesus is the go-between regarding mankind and God. You don't need a statue to pray to anymore. You don't need a picture. You don't have to hold that thing. A couple of weeks ago, one of the chief Muslims of the San Bernardino Empire County region, Inland Empire, came, and the gospel was going out, and he sat over here to the right side, the section over here, and held the Quran over his heart the whole time, shielding him from what was being taught and said. And if you were here, you heard things like this. Jesus died for your sins. Oh, wow. Whoa, that almost got me. He loves you. Whoa. Oh, I reflected that one. He was holding the Quran over his heart the whole time. And then I was told later, oh, yeah, he's shielding himself from all of this terrible bad news. Jesus has come to set at liberty those who are bound.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson simply called, Why Should I Pray? It's actually a series within a series, and part of Pastor Jack's collection of lessons called, Why Should I? And we'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, of course, this being Monday means that tonight you can catch our television program called Real Life with Jack Hibbs. Real Life with Jack Hibbs airs every Monday night, 7 o'clock West Coast time, on his channel. That's hischannel.com. Now, it's called Real Life with Jack Hibbs because you'll often see Pastor Jack sit down with some very interesting folks to talk about the hard-hitting topics and issues that affect all of us as believers, both personally and also in the big picture. And Pastor Jack always addresses these issues, of course, through the lens of Scripture. In other words, through the Judeo-Christian worldview. So Real Life with Jack Hibbs every Monday night, 7 o'clock West Coast time, on his channel. hischannel.com. In fact, to make things easy, we've got a link to his channel from our own realradioactive.org. By the way, our telephone number here at Real Radio, 877-RR-RADIO. Toll free, 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.